With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to another edition of the Final Inspection Show, of course, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Make sure to check out greatlakesdragway.com for all their 2019 ticket package and season passes and whatnot in the schedule coming up. Snow's on the ground now, but shortly we will have beautiful spring weather and the cars will be on the drag strip once again in Union Grove. Make sure to check them out. And also David Hobbs Honda, springtime is coming. But there's always a good time to buy a new or used Honda from David Hobbs Honda. Make sure to check them out, davidhobbs.com, 6100 North Green Bay Avenue Road in Glendale.
Yeah, you can buy your newer used Honda, tweak it out a little bit, and get ready to run it on the track and, real soon at Great Lakes.
You're going to be hearing me open my Starbucks here. Actually, it's a Monster.
What's the difference?
Nothing. Caffeine. Yeah, it was a little shaky today on the way in.
Yeah.
We're it's not a storm up here in Wisconsin, but it's got a little bit of snow up north. They're supposed to be getting 12 to 18 inches up in like Rhinelander, Cable area way up north. And then we have like sleet and yuck like through the Madison kind of central part of Wisconsin. We're getting rain, but the temperature is rising. But this morning we had ice. And yep. Freezing rain, and that's dissipating. But right now, what you have is because there's no runoff, there's a lot of standing water. So you'll be right driving along in a little aquaplaning action. So you got to pay attention out there. It's not dangerous or anything like that. Just, put the phone down and pay attention. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I drove in from the Dells this morning, got the family out there, a little water park action. So, the roads weren't too bad. It took me maybe an extra 20 minutes. And, as soon as this show's over, I'm heading back out there. So, so we'll see. Fingers crossed. But, the weather is what the weather is. And, it's post-Daytona. It's Atlanta time.
And there's a lot to talk about. This first segment, we're basically just going to kind of set up the show because there's that much going on. This week, of course, big event on Thursday, which was we're going to have racing at the Milwaukee Mile. We're real excited about that. Was at the State Fair Park for the press conference. We'll have more coming up on that. Looking forward to that. Bob Sargent, Track Enterprises, is the man behind it, and we'll be chatting with him coming up in a segment or two here. And also, we're going to actually run the whole press conference online. So if you go to the TFI Final Inspection page on Facebook, we'll also tweet it out. We'll do all the social media stuff. And you'll just follow us, and you'll be able to access that and get all the information, all the people behind the scenes. It was a really informative press conference that we had. And to put it bluntly, if I could sum it up in two words, baby steps. And basically this is just a first step, and hopefully – we're on the road to having more racing, but it's real important. The number one thing.
Attendance.
Exactly. If you want the Milwaukee Mile to succeed,
Get out there.
You can't go up to Michael Andretti and say, hey, wow, it's really cool you bring an IndyCar. And then when he asks you if you bought a ticket, you say, no, that doesn't work.
Right.
So yeah. You see the John DeAngelis's ARCA late model at the Custom Auto Show this weekend, or they'll be doing a lot of events at bars and taverns, and there's going to be all sorts of posters and whatnot. You're going to have to ask yourself, did I buy a ticket? And it's the only way this thing is going to work. You want racing at the Milwaukee Mile, you got to put your butt in the stands.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'm not even going to get a press pass. I'm busting out the credit card for me and the kids. And so they got 4 tickets sold from me. I hope you guys will do the same. Father's Day weekend, bring your kids.
You know how much that's going to cost you?
Not much.
For one adult and 3 kids?
What?
$40.
Yeah, sold.
$25 for an adult. If you buy it in advance,
mm-hmm.
$5 a child.
Nice.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. That, it's phenomenal, and yeah, I can't echo it enough. Get your butt out there, buy these tickets, or you completely lose your right to ever complain about no more racing at the Mile.
So in the next segment, we're going to be talking more about racing at the Milwaukee Mile. The bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to Dennis Michelson. We're going to talk a little bit of Daytona 500, what happened there, and also kind of get his feedback on the racing returning to the Milwaukee Mile, because Dennis is Mr. Short Track too, so I want to kind of get his opinion on it, what he thinks about the ARCA Late Model Series and some of the other series that's going to be in there, so it's pretty cool. And then after that, we're going to preview Atlanta. And where we'll be hearing some segments with Kevin Harvick. Really interesting. Kevin Harvick, one of the best interviewees in NASCAR, had some very interesting thoughts this weekend at Atlanta. So we'll be hearing those. Top of the hour, we're going to be talking to David Land. This is interesting stuff. David couldn't make it last week, but he promises he's going to be on the show this week. And maybe you were on YouTube and you wanted to see like a NASCAR race, let's say Atlanta's coming up. You want, oh yeah, let's go see 1980 Atlanta 500 or no. A lot of those races are gone on YouTube. David Land got to the bottom of it. We're going to find out what happened to the NASCAR videos on YouTube. And then we're also going to talk some IndyCar with him. And the bottom of the hour, or the second hour, we're going to talk with Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. We got F1 is doing their preseason testing. Some interesting things happening there. Also, IMSA, we got Sebring coming up in a few weeks. And then we'll also get our picks for Atlanta. And who's the odds-on favorite at the Atlanta Motor Speedway? So we're going to cover a lot of ground today. Should be a lot of fun. Tune in. And I appreciate everybody tuning in, especially those online. We're getting a lot of hits online, those in Indianapolis and that. We appreciate you tuning in. Whether you're from Chicago, Illinois, St. Louis, you name it, we appreciate you guys listening, whether it's live or later. Because, hey, it's 2019, Jeff, right?
Yeah, you can get it anytime you got a chance.
So it's interesting. It's an interesting world we live in, especially with the media. We got we're on the radio, but we're also, I like to emphasize, yeah, you can also listen to us anytime, anyplace. So appreciate you guys tuning in. We're going to take a quick break, and when we talk more, this is going to feel good to say, talking about racing at the Milwaukee Mile, coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to another edition of the Final Inspection Show. I'm Steve Zottke along with Jeff Orlowski. And it's racing again at the Milwaukee Mile, Jeff.
Woohoo!
And of course,
about time. We
had a press conference on Thursday, and I'll tell you, let's play. I interviewed Bob Sargent from Track Enterprises. He's the gentleman behind the promotion, and let's chat. Get my chat with him on Thursday, and then we'll expand on that.
Sounds good.
Hey, welcome back to the Final Inspection Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Steve Zottke here at the Milwaukee Mile with Bob Sargent of Track Enterprises. And this must be a pretty exciting day for you, announcing the big event.
It really is. You know, it's something that we do for a living in other facilities, but coming here for the first time, very exciting, you know, and it's a challenge to put everything together and make this place great again like it has been for so many years. So we're looking forward to the challenge and looking forward to Father's Day weekend.
And what are some of the things the fans can look forward to? It's quite a diverse lineup you have.
We have a very diverse lineup. We did that on purpose. So we have the stock cars racing, and that'll be our headliner. But we're also bringing the Indy cars in, some vintage cars, and then some local guys. So we got a really diverse lineup. And I think first and foremost, we can expect some great racing. The headline, the Midwest Tour guys are really coming out in droves to enter the race, and we expect a lot of those. So it'll be a very exciting, good stock car race. You can see the vintage Indy cars. You can see some of that. But all in all, it's a Father's Day weekend. You know, it's a family thing. It's come on out and bring dad, bring the young kids out and enjoy a day at motorsports.
And what's one of the things along with the races that they can look at? I mean, grandstand's going to be open. The pit, is there going to be availability for the people, the general admission in the pits and the infield?
Yes, we will have a fan experience for the pits and things like that. There'll be some activities for the Father's Day, the kids and things, so there'll be a full day of activities.
And what was the time frame of how this all came together, roughly?
Well, actually, you know, we started looking at this facility about 5 years ago. So getting the date right where the teams could come race and it fit in everybody's schedule, whether it be the fair schedule or my schedule, the team's schedule. And it just happened to go this year well, and we came up and visited with the fair, and the fair is very positive about it, and we put a deal together.
And you're quite involved in all the races and have been for since I think 1985. What are some of the other tracks you work at?
Well, the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield, Illinois. You know, we'll know here in Elko, Minnesota, the Minneapolis area. We work in Nashville, Tennessee, Pensacola, Florida. But we're really based right there in mid-Illinois. We have a couple weekly tracks, Macon Speedway. So involved in a lot of different facilities.
No, this is the ARCA late models, the super late models, your top of the line late models. But some people have already asked me, that's the ARCA series, but is there a possibility for the ARCA series maybe to come in the future? What's the time?
Absolutely, yes. We do 7 of their races now, so that's kind of on our horizon, looking at that. You're looking at some USAC possibilities, so there's a lot of possibilities out there.
And how's the state been working with those?
State's been great. Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah, they're very positive, very, you know, pro racing and wanting this event to work.
Well, Bob, we certainly appreciate you taking time and look forward to having you on the show again.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right.
There you have it, Bob Sargent for Track Enterprises. A lot of positive vibes, of course. And of course, what would you expect?
Of course.
But I think I've been saying all along, you know, regarding the Milwaukee Mile, there is a template for success to bring it back. And you look four hours to the south. So a little bit southwest, Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Chris Blair, who manages a Gateway, and I had a conversation with him last month. That track was within a day or two of going bankrupt and being subletted. That's how close it was. And the group that he's involved with is able to save it, get all the people together and say, this is what we want to do. Pay off some of the debt service, but make a rain and then say, this is how we're going to get this thing back together, along with help from the state saying, okay, well, let's do this. Let's everybody work together and get this thing righted, get the ship righted, and then move forward. And this is what they did. They brought in smaller events the first year, kind of get their feet wet, kind of, and then build from that. And I think talking to Bob and other people, this is going to be a first step. We don't need 30,000 people here on June 16th. It would be really nice to have 7,500 to 10,000.
Right.
And I think that's very feasible. There's been, I've been telling, you know, I had a conversation with him on the phone about 2-3 weeks ago. And, you know, he's like, what are the vibes up there? I said, well, the one thing that is really kind of buoyed my feelings for the race and how successful it can be. There's a lot of people out there who aren't maybe particularly stock car fans, but saying, I want to support this event anyways. I'm not a big stock car fan, but I'm, you know, maybe they might be a sprint car, dirt car fan, or, you know, they might be involved in other series, but they're interested. They want to get back to the Milwaukee Mile. They want to see a race at the Milwaukee Mile. And I said, and he was exploring other divisions in that. And I said, the more different, you know, varieties, kind of treated like an open tent policy, that'll be even increased that more. And so he's bringing in the vintage Indy Registry, who's hopefully will be bringing anywhere from 20 to 25 vintage Indy cars from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, 80s into the 90s. And that's going to be pretty neat seeing those out there. It's a neat organization. I was with them in St. Louis. They had a really nice event down at Gateway, and it'll be neat to see those guys. And you have the Mid-American Stock Cars, the Midwest Super Trucks, and the Upper Midwest Vintage Series, which runs vintage stock cars. So if you're a nostalgic fan of nostalgia and remember going to the Milwaukee Mile when you were a kid and that, well, this is going to be an excellent opportunity for you to see a lot of those cars you may have seen run in the 70s, 80s, or 90s, whether it's a stock car or an Indy car. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. And tickets, you know, I already had a couple of people text, hey, when can I get tickets? Tickets are, the on-sale ticket date is going to be March 4th. So they're going to be available. And they are going to be available through the State Fair, but also through Track Enterprises, too. And like I said, you buy your tickets ahead of time. I think, and it's really easy, $25.
Yep.
$5 for kids. And then I think race day or that day or that weekend, I think they go up to 30. So it's not a huge.
That's not bad.
No.
That's not bad either. You know, I always laugh when I'll be talking to my buddies and, hey, what are you doing for Father's Day? And, you know, I got one buddy. Well, same thing as every year. I take my kids to the zoo. I said, why do you do that? Oh, well, that's what the wife wants to do. I said, well, it's called Father's Day right. For a reason. Said, you go to the zoo, you're miserable because there's 8 million people there. You could see those same animals.
Anytime.
Any day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have racing at the mile every single day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do, you need to get out, you need to go, you need to show up and have a good time. And remember, it's called Father's Day for a reason. You boys are in charge that day.
Right.
So don't get dragged out to, you know, to the zoo or to brunch. Do man things with your kids.
And you know how, you know, people are always complaining, or you'll hear people on other stations or even this station or something, and there's a situation. Go write your congressman. Go write your politician. Go write your alderman. Call your alderman or whatever. In this case, you should do that too, but in a positive way. John Yingling, who is a board chairman of Wisconsin State Fair Park, is Yingling with a Y.
Uh-huh.
Y-I-N-G-L-I-N-G. Go send him an email. Write him a letter. Say, hey, I really appreciate you taking steps to saving and bringing racing back to the Milwaukee Mile, and I plan on supporting it. And that really goes a long way.
It does.
Because I tell you what, if this thing works this year, next year you're going to be looking at adding more stuff.
Yeah.
Most likely. No, this is me speaking. This isn't Bob Sargent talking or anybody else. But using what I know about auto racing and working with other tracks and Milwaukee Mile in the past and whatnot, I think it would be very feasible next year. You'll see USAC Silver Crown there and the ARCA, the Menards ARCA series that mm-hmm. was just racing at Daytona a couple weeks ago. And then a year after that, if that's successful, I see no reason why we couldn't see maybe the NASCAR trucks there.
I would love to see a truck race there.
Once again, bringing NASCAR back to the Milwaukee Mile and perhaps IndyCar. Now, this is if and that's the big if, is if the fans want it. If they're going to come out and support the Milwaukee Mile, I think that's very feasible because that is the template we saw with Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Gateway brought in some smaller series. They jumped up to ARCA and Silver Crown. Next thing you know, the truck series is there. And then they brought in IndyCar. And the last two IndyCar races they had, with very good local support, which is very important, they had, you know, 35,000-40,000 people in the stands. Well, it wasn't just where they just gave away all the tickets either. Those are, you know, ticket buyers. So
Gateway's turned themselves into the second or third most important race of the season. And
they are lobbying hard with IndyCar to have the season end at Gateway.
It
because
should.
Because in the past, they would have it at Fontana, and they had it on Homestead. Great tracks. But unfortunately, there's a lot to do in the Miami area in April or October or September, and going to IndyCar race wasn't high. So you would have great races. Well, even for NASCAR, you see, a lot of those tickets are given away. Where it's a great track in that, but you know when you see a stands are three quarters or half full for your final race of the year, the big championship, everything building up to it, you know, people on TV might be thinking, oh, what's going on? Same thing with Fontana too, with the IndyCar series a couple years back. I mean, it was just California, people didn't want to travel east to go to the Ontario Fontana area. You know, they'd rather stay on the west side of LA, have fun at the beach, apparently. So, but Gateway looks very good on TV, competitive racing, full stands. Hence, that's why they're lobbying IndyCar. And there's a few factors involved, obviously. And, you know, let's be honest, a lot of it's sponsorship driven.
Right.
It's a lot easier to wine and dine people, whether it's in Monterey or previously in Sonoma, than it is in St. Louis. Nothing against our friends in St. Louis. There's some great restaurants in downtown St. Louis. But, you know, so those are things that the powers to be in Indianapolis have to weigh and get feedback from the sponsorships and see and TV and whatnot. And we'll see. I think it's something that might be that's doable.
I'd rather eat in St. Louis. I'd rather have a full slab of ribs than some frou-frou thing that looks like, you know, you see 95% of the plate and there's like one leaf. And then, you know, there's like some pink crap somewhere and there's, you know, a couple other different colors. You know, give me a meal, please.
Hey, we had some breaking news here, too, this morning. I want to touch base with that. I mean, it's not huge news, but I thought it was interesting. Let's see here. Team Penske announced this morning Austin Cindric will start practicing the number two Auto Trader Ford Mustang for today's one and only Cup Series practice at Atlanta Motor Speedway, replacing regular driver Brad Keselowski woke up experienced flu-like symptoms. Cindric, who will compete in this afternoon's Xfinity race, will help Paul Wolf in the number two get the Auto Trader prepared for tomorrow's Atlanta 500-mile race. But, however, Keselowski is scheduled to start tomorrow.
Yeah, Keselowski turned a couple laps in that car during practice towards the end of it. Cindric, you know, he started, ran some laps. The happy hour was delayed. It was red flagged two, three different times because of rain. Kyle Busch got into the wall. So, you know, there was some action.
Yeah, I saw that with Kyle Busch. He kind of backed it in a little bit. And
yeah, he's got some right rear damage. And, you know, on the radio, he said the car is toast and probably need to go to a backup. I haven't been able to check lately. To see if they went to a bit. It didn't look that bad.
Let me take another look at this thing. I think it's.
But he was second fastest when he spun it and nailed the wall. So he, you know,
Well, I mean, and it's not that easy to do anymore where you just, you know, everything is so exact nowadays. It's probably just easier, and then you have the time factor. So maybe, yeah, you do go to the backup car.
You know, I would sit there if I was Paul Wolf. I'd be trying to do anything in my power to race this one. Second fastest in happy hour. You know, I'd be trying to keep what I got.
Yesterday in truck practice, Ray Ciccarelli also hit the wall in the 49 truck. He did some damage, too, pretty – I thought that was actually heavier damage than saw in the Busch car, so it remains to be seen if he's going to be running today in the truck race. So, and, yeah, I was surprised to see because let's take a quick look at the radar because when I looked earlier, it looked like it was moving out. And some, but that's one of those things where your radar can kind of deceive you, because when I looked at the radar for our locally today, it said it was snowing out, and it wasn't snowing.
Right.
So
supposedly tomorrow is going to be hot and sunny down there in Atlanta. Today is the iffy day.
Yeah, see, right now it's looking clear. That's why I don't – it's strange.
Yeah, so, you know – everything just be prepared north. If you know you plan on watching Xfinity and the truck race, both taking place today down there. You might want to set those DVRs to run a couple hours late, and just in case. But yeah, today is going to be the cold one. Tomorrow, while it's supposed to be nice and no moisture, they are calling for a ton of wind down there.
That should be interesting. And yesterday was interesting because you know, with Atlanta moving, you know, a few years ago to so early in the schedule, it's kind of a hit and miss. I'm on the pass and early, I think at 92 or 91, when was that? Early 90s actually had snow. I remember one Friday, the big snowball fight in the, on the pits at Atlanta. Yes, there's also one they had a famous snowball fight in Bristol a few years later, but this is actually prior to that. And, you know, it can be hot. I mean, it's real hit and miss. And yesterday they were saying it was hot and muggy in the morning.
Yeah.
And then it kind of moved down. And it was actually quite comfortable yesterday in, for practice and everything, getting everything set up for today and tomorrow. So it's interesting that the weather is just changing. And when we hear from Kyle or Kevin Harvick coming up here in the next half hour, it's interesting. There's so many variables and new things coming up this weekend at Atlanta. That with this new setup, you throw in the weather in there, it should even be more of an interesting weekend, shouldn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, it's going from a crapshoot. You know, you can't really rely on your notes from the last, you know, few times you were down there. You got to basically, everybody's starting from scratch. And, you know, you can call it a quote-unquote tapered spacer. You can call it a restrictor plate, whatever you want to call it, tomato, tomato. It's going to be interesting to see how this race goes.
And speeds are a little bit down too, so.
They are down, but yeah. Eric Amarola was only, you know, 4 or 5 tenths down from the speeds from last year.
Yeah.
So he was hauling during qualifying.
It should be interesting. Speaking of interesting, in the next segment here, we're going to talk to Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Group Media, and we'll get his thoughts on racing returning to the Milwaukee Mile Father's Day weekend. And also, we'll kind of take a look back at the Daytona 500. A lot of controversy and whatnot. I was on a Bill Michaels show Monday. We chatted about that and how things were looking so good for a while, and then it kind of fell apart there. So we'll talk to Dennis Michelson coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Boy, just reminds me of the Clash. Same type of carnage that we saw where these cars were going everywhere. A lot of damage as they all got to turn three.
Well, that ruined everything.
There you have it. The Daytona 500, of course, won by Denny Hamlin in the FedEx Toyota of Joe Gibbs Racing. However, the first, three quarters of the race was looking very good. It's competitive. We had side-by-side racing, everything was looking well, and unfortunately, that last quarter wasn't too hot, was it?
No, you know, once you got all that twisted sheet metal and everything like that, it kind of put a damper on the whole thing, but it was, you know, it did start out, it was a heck of a race. You know, great choice by you as having Matthew DiBenedetto, Mr. D Burrito, as your dark horse. He led forever. So, you know, there was a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys that that fared really well. Michael McDowell was up there all day. It was interesting.
Yeah, I think the frustrating part of it was those good storylines got wiped out in that last quarter of the race.
They did.
I mean, not taking anything away from Denny Hamlin, but then again I am, because it was looking like, well, there's a few players out there that looked like they were going to have really good races, especially that 95 car, which would have been a great story. And then it's like, oh, because let's face it, you know, NASCAR fans and the fans in sports fans in general love that underdog story.
Yep.
And NASCAR has become such a, you know, the power three teams, and then insert power team, you know, whatever it is this year. But lately it's been, of course, Joe Gibbs and Hendrick and Penske in that. But, you know, it's just frustrating from a, of a, you know, I always go back to what the casual fan is saying. And unfortunately, this has kind of become a broken record where I hear this from casual fans over, oh, yeah, yeah, NASCAR racing, it's become, well, it's boring racing, then they get to the end, and then they start wrecking each other. And there's a few times where there are some moves made out there in the last 25 laps where you're like, just you're just shaking your head going, you know, why is this happening? So I tell you what, let's go to the Midwest Bank hotline and talk with Dennis Michelson.
Final inspection. Final inspection. Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
Dennis Michelson, welcome to the show. Better late than never.
Mr. Z-Man, I think we got lost somewhere there in the wonderful world of phone lines. But we're gotcha now.
Very good. So, yeah, you know, the Daytona 500, it's a tale of two races, wasn't it? The first three quarters was looking competitive. We had some good storylines going. And then it all kind of went away, didn't it, at that last...
Well, you had chaos, but, hey, you had a little bit of everything in this race. You had actual passing for the lead. The restrictor plate package the last couple of years have been kind of blah. They made just a slight tweak to it, and it seemed to give us better racing. Plus, they basically cussed the drivers out and warned them that they didn't really want them just hanging on the high line all day. They wanted them to actually put on a show, but I think the sunny and warm conditions kind of equalized the track for everybody. It was a good show. I mean, I won't go and try to fool anybody into saying it was the greatest Daytona 500 of all time, but some knuckleheaded car and driver said it was the worst Daytona 500 of all time. That guy is a complete moron for thinking
no,
that.
No, there was – I remember – it might have been 78. Bobby Allison won, I think, in a Bud Moore car, which wasn't a lot of passing, wasn't you know, the best. I mean, there's been some stinkers out there.
Yeah, there've been some stinkers, and last week wasn't one of them. Now, you did have 80% of the cars. Here was the strangest stat from the weekend. There was an estimate that 80% of those cars, because of the damage, might never race in NASCAR again. Those chassis were so bent up. And that goes for all three series combined. So it was a very, very expensive race weekend for NASCAR team owners, that's for sure.
Well, how could that be, Dennis, when everything that we hear from NASCAR is that they make all these changes to save money and to cut costs?
Yeah, but you collide at 200 miles an hour, and all of a sudden those chassis become more expensive to fix.
Yes.
But when you set your rules package up to have these guys collide at 200 miles an hour, it makes you a complete hypocrite to then sit there and, you know, have universal, you know, pit guns because it's going to save guys $20. It's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is kind of weird that we go in the reverse directions because, you know, it wasn't too long ago. I mean, you look at the ARCA race, for instance, down at Daytona, and the guy who was one of the fastest in practice leading up to qualifying, Andy Seiss, used an old Busch car chassis that had been alive since 1996. So you look at how cars used to be built, and you could build and rebuild them and rebuild them again. But the rules package, the technical, you know, measurements now are so close in NASCAR, it makes that almost impossible. It's actually cheaper to replace the whole car, which is kind of crazy.
Well, here's the one stat I think everybody was looking at regarding that last quarter of the race. It took, I think it was 1 hour. I got Mike McCarthy, not that Mike McCarthy, but a different one, tweeted out 1 hour and 12 minutes ago, there were 30 laps to go. So that's pretty much sums up the race at that second part.
Three red flags later. Yeah, yeah. It was kind of crazy. But, you know, the thing you cannot separate, though, is that, you know, you had good racing during the day before the mayhem started. You know, NASCAR fans love a little mayhem. You know, they're kidding you if they tell you different, because look at all the highlight reels that NASCAR goes to great lengths to put together.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of crashing. And then at the end, I mean, what a great feel-good story. The first time back at the track since J.D. Gibbs passed away, you know, in a point race anyway, and a 1-2-3 finish for Joe Gibbs Racing and his number 11 car. You know, for a lot of reasons, that was his number. It was his number when he played football, and it was Denny Hamlin was the guy that he helped discover when they were doing a short track test for another driver. Back in the day. So all those things going together, it was one of those great feel-good stories with the Joe Gibbs organization, you know, needing a little smile on their faces, and they got it.
Do you want to talk about the ratings?
Ratings were up, but...
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. That was the overnights were up. And then when the final ratings came in, the overall, that was the lowest ever.
Yeah, well, let's put it to you this way. The overnight ratings were up versus a very low number.
Yes.
So the overall number was not great.
No.
But you didn't see the fall off like we've continued to have. Like, you put the brakes on the shrinking television audience. And the interesting thing is, we did an interview this week with guys from an app called Tunity, which is one of the smaller sponsors in NASCAR now on Matt Tiff's car. And they are able now to estimate the number of people that actually watch NASCAR races away from their television sets. And the number was pretty astronomical. So that's where some of the ratings are going. But, you know, overall, NASCAR is still the biggest racing organization as far as popularity here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
One thing was great to see was a sellout at Daytona. And, yeah, I know they removed a lot of seats to get to a sellout, but it's still a nice situation when you can sell all the seats that you had available. And you had a pretty good crowd in the infield, too. So I think NASCAR might be going in the right direction as far as slowing down the shrinkage that we've seen in the sport. But then again, going to Atlanta, 37 cars are all that showed up, and 36 of those are guaranteed a spot every week and a paycheck every week because of the charter system. So there really isn't any fresh blood willing to come into NASCAR right now.
I thought this was an interesting stat. Ryan Preece, who finished eighth, who replaced Allmendinger in the JTG car, finishes eighth, and that was his first Daytona 500. Not first Daytona. Well, of course, it was his first Daytona 500 that he's driven in, but it was his first Daytona 500 he ever attended either.
Yeah, an old modified guy, you know. He's usually been busy racing that time of the year somewhere else, usually down there at New Smyrna, so... In fact, he was racing at New Smyrna at the, you know, leading up to the 500. So, but great to see some young drivers have some success down there. You know, we also got to see Matt DiBenedetto have a pretty good run before he got caught up in a crash as well. So, you know, I think we're starting to see a few of these guys that are new to the sport getting a chance in decent equipment and showing that they've got what it takes.
And let's take a look at racing at the Milwaukee Mile, Dennis.
My gosh, yes.
And are you excited about that?
I'm absolutely thrilled about it, and I'll tell you why. And it is, you know, here's the thing. There have been a lot of great attempts to bring racing back to the Milwaukee Mile. But I'm not so sure, and I'm sorry. I'm going to, you know, be insulting the folks that used to be there at Andretti Sports Marketing that tried it with the IndyCar race for several years. But here's the thing. When it comes to understanding the Midwest racing fan, right now, in this day and age, is there anybody better than Bob Sargent? Has he ever touched an event that hasn't grown to be a huge success? I mean, before he got involved with some of the racing at the fairgrounds there, you know, both at DuCoin and also at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield, those events were sliding. They were losing. You know, they were losing attendance-wise. They were losing a lot. And they were losing car counts and the series they wanted to come race and all that kind of stuff were kind of in jeopardy. He got involved. Boom. Good success. He's had good success at dirt tracks around the area as well. I think he really understands the Midwest racing fans, and I think he's bringing the perfect series in to race there. That's going to be like their Daytona 500.
Yeah, can you
short track guys?
Can you kind of tell the fans and listeners what to expect from the ARCA Midwest Tour?
I think we're going to see some pretty good racing. There's a lot of talent in that division. I've heard a lot of people compare it to the old ARCO series. That's a name that, you know, the older fans listening will remember. And I think it's pretty accurate. No, they don't have quite the depth of talent from, you know, first to 20th in the field like the old ARCO series did back in its heyday when you had so many guys coming up just to race in some of those big events. But what you have is good parity, but not a case where you can just outbuy, you know, you can't overpay on the car and outdo talent. So there's a lot of good talented drivers. And the ARCA Midwest Tour has done a really good job during what have been tough times to put on consistently good shows everywhere they go. And these cars are momentum-based cars. You know, they're not overpowered, so it's going to be a momentum-based race. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think they'll put on a heck of a show.
All right, very good, Dennis. Thank you. Can you stay over for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. We'll talk to Dennis Michelson coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
Final inspection. Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Media. The folds of honor. Quick Trip 500 Atlanta Motor Speedway, Dennis. What are we looking at this weekend? Well, hold that thought. I'm sorry. We need to play the Harvick bit.
Which one?
Let's do the first one where he talks about... let me take a look at this. Is good radio right here, folks.
Yeah, he talks about Atlanta. Here we go.
Yeah, this is it.
Well, we really don't know either. You know, I think that's the question, and, you know, we don't have that answer. You know, but I can tell you that it's going to be drastically different than what we've done before. But, you know, we've not raced this package. That's the bottom line. You know, you don't have any idea of what you need because we haven't had all the cars on the racetrack. And last week was a great example for a lot of you. who wrote stories about the racing and the way that the clash and the qualifying races were, the drastic difference, you know, when we dropped the green flag at the Daytona 500 with all the cars on the racetrack. So, you know, other than being drastically different, I would hate to speculate on what the direction of it is going to be and what we're going to do, because we don't know. And a lot of times that's good for everybody watching, because, you know, once the engineers and the people all wrap their arms around what they need, then it becomes more of a system. And you really start to build the notebook and the things that go with that to, you know, start to evolve the program and what you do and what you work on. So right now we don't have anything to evolve because we don't have any answers. We have more questions with zero answers, really.
So, Dennis, what will we see this weekend at Atlanta?
Well, okay. Here's kind of how my evolution of this package has gone. When they announced it, it was so anti what Dan Gurney taught us all as race fans, that, you know, more horsepower, less downforce. This is going the other way. It's a little more downforce, a little more drag, more than downforce. With the larger spoiler, it's going to really increase the amount of drag while not increasing the overall downforce of the car. It's kind of a physics thing. But here's the thing, is they're taking power away with this tapered spacer. So when they announced it, I was like, oh, God, please no. It's a modified version of the All-Star race package that we saw. And I say modified because, in my opinion, that race was horrible. But the modified part that helps it is that extra drag on the spoiler, because what you're going to end up getting is more of the ability of guys to do a little bit of slingshot passing with a little bit of help. When I watched the tire testing and the aero package testing out in Las Vegas before the season started, the first day was an absolute disaster. It made me think, oh, my God, this is going to be the worst racing we're ever going to see. Day two of the package actually impressed me that there was going to be better racing than what we had last year at the intermediate tracks. It's an improvement over what we had. Now, that's not saying much, because the last couple of years got so bad on the intermediate tracks that they had to do a roval at one of the best intermediate tracks just to get fan interest again. But overall, I think you're going to see a very competitive package. And I think one thing that you're going to see is you're going to see some of these teams that are sort of the underdogs end up having a chance to actually compete with the big boys at more than just the restrictor plate tracks. But more than anything else, I really like the Fords, because if there's one thing that Doug Yates knows how to do is build a restricted airflow engine for the Fords. And I think you're going to see the Fords do quite well. And the proof is in the pudding right here with Clint Bowyer being fastest in happy hour practice today.
Interesting. I tell you what, let's Harvick also has some interesting thoughts on Jimmy Johnson. Let's hear from those next.
Well, it was great, because, you know, I feel like, in my opinion, Jimmy's one of the most disrespected great drivers that have ever come through this garage. And, you know, it's Jimmy Johnson's, you know, just a good old-fashioned great guy, and, you know, helps people and has done great things in the garage, in the race car, out of the race car. And, you know, sometimes I feel like we forget that he's won. A lot of people forget that he's won 7 championships and all the races that he's won and all the great things that he's done. And it's not like he came from a rich daddy or a family that had a lot of money. I mean, he came all the way up from, you know, the bottom all the way to the top and worked hard and had a lot of success with it and has won as many championships as Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty. And I never feel like he's on that pedestal next to those guys appropriately. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, as a group, from a fan standpoint, you know, I feel like you're just letting it go by and not even realizing that you're watching one of the greatest careers that's ever going to come through the garage. So, you know, so we talked about the basic things, you know, where'd you start? How'd you start? What'd you do? You know, how'd you get here? Because I feel like, you know, a lot of times, you know, the fan base changes so much from, you know, the majority of our fan base that it's almost, you almost have to reintroduce yourself every 5 or 6 years to let people understand who you are. And once you hear the Jimmy Johnson story and how he got to where he is and you know, a lot of people know what he's done here, but it's not like it was handed to him. And so that's always kind of our goal, is to do something different. And I just feel like it's, you know, I don't want the fans to not realize what they're watching.
Dennis, thoughts on Jimmy Johnson, please.
He's one of the greatest drivers that's ever been in NASCAR. Look at how many consecutive championships that he's won. Nobody did that before. Nobody's won more championships than him. Two guys tied for that number. But here's the problem with Jimmy Johnson. He's not exciting. He doesn't get you to love or hate him. He's just kind of there every year. He's won on years after his career. I think we're actually going to be a little more fond of what he did record-wise than what we are right now. Most great champions have that sort of cockiness out in the press that gets people to either love or hate him. He's kind of just vanilla.
Yeah, I talked to Jim Tradel, who was emceeing the press conference earlier this week on the mile coming back. And I remember a conversation I had with him a couple of years ago where Jimmy Johnson was actually at the Milwaukee Mile for a test. And he knew Jimmy going back to his ASA days when he raced with Herzog and then later in the Busch Series and whatnot. And he was talking about Jimmy Johnson and some of the negativity that at that time they were talking about. And that's one of the few times I really saw Jim get emotional and kind of mad, where he was saying, you know, if the fans only could see the Jimmy Johnson that you see, who sits around having a couple beers and joshing with the guys and whatnot, and I've on an occasion been able to see that, and it's kind of the same deal with Scott Dixon on the IndyCar side, where quality guys, quality people, superb drivers, but just. I don't really, it's not really fair to call vanilla, because I've seen Scott Dixon loosen up too. It's not that they're tight or anything. It's just that their personality, just for whatever reason, doesn't transfer well to some of the fans.
Transfer on TV.
Right. Yeah.
Is what it is. In person, one-on-one with Jimmy Johnson, he's a funny guy.
He is.
And he's
also
a very nice guy. I mean, here's the thing. For those of us that are sort of freelancers covering NASCAR, a lot of times it's a lot of heavy lifting to get a big name like a Jeff Gordon or, you know, even a Brad Keselowski to do an interview. You walk up to Jimmy Johnson on the fly, you don't have to go through his PR guy. If he's got time, he'll give you the couple of minutes that you need right there on pit road without asking his PR people ahead of time. The guy is a nice guy, but over the television set, he comes off as being very bland because he doesn't want to offend anyone. He isn't that cocky guy. He just goes out and does it, you know, with his driving ability. That's a lot different than most champions that we've seen over the years in NASCAR.
Dennis, give us a race prediction winner for the Sunday's race.
Well, I'm telling you, the guy that was quickest in happy hour and third in qualifying is my pick. Mr. Clint Bowyer is going to get it done.
All right, very good. Dennis, thank you as always. Appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right, Z-Man.
Thank you, Dennis. Dennis Michelson, D-Mike Media. When we come, well, we'll have a sports flash coming up next, and after that, we'll talk with David Land from YouTube coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.